John chapter 20, starting from verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked at the strips of linen laying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still laying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated there where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to the Father, to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Lizzie, and happy Easter, everybody. Christ is risen. Well done to all the Anglicans in the room. This is an Anglican church. We managed to do it. I wonder, when was the last time that you were surprised or shocked? A couple of days ago, to celebrate a birthday, Daisy, our daughter, had a little party of six in our back garden. There were some balloons, and I came across a balloon that hadn't been popped on Tuesday. You know, that really nice warm day when we're all able to be outside. So I'm thinking, well, I'm the responsible person that I am. I'll just pop the balloon. Lizzie was inside the kitchen with the door wide open because it's a beautiful day, and here's a bang. Oh! She says, "What was that?" "It's a balloon." For me, it was blindingly obvious what happened. It's a balloon that needed to be popped. For Lizzie, something surprising had happened, and it took her a minute to work out what has gone on and do I need to do anything about it. A couple of days ago, I was walking into a room where my son Toby was. The door was shut, and so I cracked it open. The sound of the door opening took him by surprise. Oh, it's you. That moment where we don't really understand what's going on. We're sort of shaken aback, and it takes a little bit of time for us to work out, oh, okay, that's what just happened. It's a little bit like what happened for the first disciples on that first Easter day. Mary was the person who had gone with Jesus's body to see where it had been laid on the Friday. So they had this big day of celebration, the day of Passover, the day of Sabbath, where they were to rest and not allowed to do any work. So they'd taken Jesus' body down from the cross. They'd wrapped it up in some temporary dressings and kind of put it in this tomb. And Mary's plan was that in a couple of days' time, come Sunday morning, after it was a big deal like Christmas, where you don't really do anything, you just hang out. So after that day, I'll go and I'll sort Jesus' body out for a proper burial. I'll take some herbs and spices before the body starts decomposing and all that stuff. So I'll just go and make it smell a little bit nicer before all that begins. And Mary gets to the tomb and something is wrong. It's a little bit like when you were watching a thriller. Anybody here like a thriller? We as a family were watching the Batman trilogy a couple of weeks ago, and we got to the final film, The Dark Knight Rises. I love that film, and I've seen it about four times now, and every single time I forget that there's a major plot twist at the end. And every time it gets to the end of the movie and I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot all about that. And the first time I saw it, I was like, what? I need to go back and watch the whole film again so that it actually makes sense, because what's just happened in this plot twist means that I was confused for the whole of the film. That's a little bit like how Mary and the disciples were feeling that first day, because Mary, who'd seen where Jesus' body was laid, turned up with her spices ready to dress the body, and the problem was the stone that had been put in front of the tomb had been rolled away. She ran back to tell her friends, something's wrong, guys. You know where we put the body? You know the stone that was rolled in front of the tomb? It's been moved. The stone's been rolled away. Peter and John go running off to where the tomb was. Mary following. I love that there's a little bit about who won the race. It just proves that the gospel is a real story written by real people. Nobody would make that little bit up. It's written in there because John's just like, yeah, I got there first. John got there first and looked in and saw there are the grave clothes that we wrapped Jesus in on Friday, lying there. Why, if this was a grave robbery, would the burglars leave the only thing of value in the tomb? That doesn't make any sense. Peter gets there, pushes past John, dives straight in, wants to see inside, sees the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head lying there, as if Jesus' body had just kind of dissolved and left the cloth. What's going on? John walks in to join Simon Peter, and the Bible says, the scripture tells us that he saw and believed. John's aha moment was a moment of faith. He didn't necessarily understand what had gone on, but he was like, I believe something amazing has happened here. I don't know the conversation that they had. I'm fascinated by this conversation because they're like, well, should we go home? Okay. So they go home. I don't know why, but Mary hangs around and stays there. And she's weeping because she can't understand either. John's had a moment of conviction. Something amazing's happened. Simon Peter's like, I don't know. And Mary's just gutted about the whole thing and stays. And as she then walks into the tomb, something even crazier happens. Two people dressed in white, described as angels. Well, I mean, how did they get there? They're asking her, what's the matter? Why are you crying? She's like, why would I not be crying? Jesus is dead, and now the body's gone, and I've no idea what to do. And they are just as confused because they're angels, right? So they know Jesus is alive, and they're like, why are you crying? What's the problem? From their two different perspectives, the angels seeing the heavenly perspective of what's going on, and Mary just seeing what she can only understand, have this clash of nobody being able to understand why they don't understand. And as Mary looks out back through the tomb, she sees a bloke and thinks, well, maybe I'll ask him. He looks like the gardener. I guess he's been around all weekend. Mate, have you got any idea what they've done with the body? And what does the gardener say? Mary. Maybe she couldn't see him because it was just the silhouette. And she didn't expect him to be there anyway because he was dead, right? But just the sound of her name was Mary's aha moment, the plot twist for Mary. she clings onto him, and then he says, go and send a message to everybody who's gathered and trying to work out what's going on. I'll come and see you soon. So Mary dashes off and tells the disciples, you'll never believe it. I've seen Jesus. And then later on, if you carry on the reading through John chapter 20, later on they're all gathered together and they've got no idea what to do. They are freaking out. Mary said she's seen Jesus. John's have this amazing religious moment. And Simon Peter's as confused as everybody else. What's going on? What do we do? The religious authorities have killed Jesus. Are they going to come and kill us too? And as they're having these conversations, who turns up? It's Jesus. Hi, guys. Peace be with you. How are you doing? What? Oh, yeah, here's my hands. Here's my feet. Remember the holes? Yeah, that hurt a bit. Receive the Holy Spirit, the one who gives the gift of faith. Be at peace. Because I was dead, but now I'm alive forever. You see, death thought it had the victory. This horrible curse under which we live. Knowing that things around us are broken like Rick's egg. Knowing things aren't quite right and just wanting to see it put back together and fixed. And Jesus comes along and says, I can fix that if you put your hope in me. And today I wonder whether you're someone like John, where you just have a real sense of faith. And you don't necessarily understand that faith very much, but you're pretty sure God's around and God loves you and Jesus loves you and we're good and that's okay. Maybe you're a bit more like Mary, where it doesn't make sense and you need to have someone come and you need a word from the Lord to be able to go, okay, I get it. Jesus wants a personal relationship with me. Jesus loves me. And it's not just that Jesus died to save the world. It's that Jesus died to save me. Or maybe you're like Simon Peter and you just got a whole bunch of questions and it doesn't all make sense until you encounter Jesus and they go, aha, I get it. Or maybe you're like the guy who turns up a little bit later in the story, Thomas, doubting Thomas. And you've got a whole bunch of doubts. I'm just not sure I believe this stuff. Thomas wasn't there that night that Jesus turned up. I don't know what he was doing. Maybe he was at the cinema. What was Thomas doing? Why was he not there hanging out with his friends? But he wasn't. And maybe you're a bit like Thomas and you're surrounded by people who talk about Jesus all the time as if he's real and if he's true and you just think you're nuts. Well, Easter Day gives you the opportunity to have an encounter with the risen Jesus as well. And Thomas had said, he'd set up this test for Jesus, unless I put my fingers in the scars, then I'm not going to believe. And sometimes we put a test for God and we say, well, I'm not going to believe unless. But for Thomas, it was simply being in the presence of Jesus, who's like, my Lord and my God. He worshipped Jesus. The thing is, I don't think there's anything wrong with doubts, I really hope there's nothing wrong with doubts, because I have them, and I'm sure everybody here does too. But the amazing thing about Easter Day is that it reminds us that whatever we might be questioning or doubting or afraid about or confused about, Jesus is risen. And that's a fact attested by history. Because nobody ever produced his body. Nobody ever explained why the only things of worth that were left in the tomb were there. As if Jesus' body had simply dissolved or something weird. But that many, many people saw the risen Christ. And we can encounter him today through the presence of his Holy Spirit. Maybe you've had an aha moment with Jesus, and that's cool. We've got three people today who've had an aha moment with Jesus and who want to signify that moment by having the waters of baptism poured over them. Well, they didn't know that when they asked to be baptized, but that's the way we're going to do it. Normally, we would have a pool here, and it would be a little bit like going down into the grave as we dip people down and then raising them up to new life in Christ. But that's a pretty good way of transferring COVID, so we're not doing that. But baptism can also be seen as a washing, a cleansing, a purifying. That I once was dead, but now I am alive. Once I was living in darkness, but now I am living in the light. Once there was desolation, and now there is resurrection. And that is why we celebrate on Easter Day. That is why we put a smile on our face. That's why we turn the volume up a little bit and sing nice songs. Thank you, Simon. We celebrate because there is hope. We celebrate because Jesus is alive. And he's offering you and me our own aha moment. So I want to encourage you, as you hear the stories of why our friends today are wanting to get baptized, just think, what are you saying to me, Lord? How might I encounter you? Let's take a moment to pray. I invite you to close your eyes, bow your head. And put your trust in Jesus. Put your trust in the resurrected Christ. And you may have done this, like Rick said, you may have done it hundreds of times. Well, this may be the very first time you've done it. And if it is, I'd just like to give you a couple of words that you might want to pray, repeating after me in your head and in your heart. Jesus, thank you that you rose again from the dead. Today, I put my trust in you. I ask for your forgiveness and for your peace. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit, to give me the gift of faith and live empowered by your love. You gave everything for me, so I give everything for you. It's you now, Lord, because you have won me. Freedom through your resurrection. Take me out of darkness into your glorious light. Now, if you prayed that for the very first time today, I'd love you to give me a wave as I'm looking. Other people have got their hands, their eyes shut. If you've said that prayer and you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, just give us a little notification because we'd love to give you a Bible. We'd love to invite you to Alpha, which is a course that we run to help answer our doubts, our questions of faith. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you call us out of darkness into your light. We thank you that you call us out of death into resurrected life. We thank you that you wash us clean through the blood of Jesus and the water of baptism. So today, those of us who follow Jesus, it's a party like no other. Death has been defeated. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.